3, 2, 1, go!
Welcome back, everybody, to the Triad of the Force podcast, a podcast from Puerto Rican friends coming together to do deep dives into Star Wars and other nerd-related media. These are our Batch Fridays, where we talk about every episode of The Bad Batch Season 2, today focusing on Episode 9, The Crossing. Now, before we get into that, we'd like to remind you to like, subscribe, and follow our little podcast here. And our amazing guest for today, our friend Andres Alvarez from 50 Minutes. Welcome back to the podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast. Oh,
thank you so much. So thrilled to be back.
It's always so nice to have you back. I will say, I should have said this before we started recording, but can you move your camera a little bit so that we don't decapitate you once we put the
up or down
the names
up? No, down.
Other way.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Perfect.
See, people, for everyone listening, you know, sometimes we don't have our stuff together, but we got it now.
We adapt. We figure it out as we go along.
Modern problems require modern solutions, even though that's, you know, I don't know what was modern about that solution, but, you know.
But we're fine. How's it going? It's okay. Yeah. It's all good. Well, anyway, the Bad Batch, Andres, this is the first time we've had you come over to talk about season two. So we want to know, what have you thought about it so far? And what did you think about season one to begin with?
I so far, I think season two has been really good because it's getting us to think deeper about what it means to be not Empire, not Republic, not Rebel in this era in the galaxy. I thought season one was also like pretty solid. I think it was a kind of like it took too long to, in my opinion, to like get kind of where it was going because it just spent so much time being like, here's how this part of the galaxy is responding to post Order 66 galaxy. And it just kind of rinsed and repeated that for a bunch of cycles. So, you know, but that's more of like for us who have, you know, eat, sleep, and breathe the galaxy. It's like we kind of already know where everything's going.
Right.
But yeah, season two is like it's being more internal. And that's for me where the Bad Batch shines, because it really is by definition a group of folks who were ready to die for the Republic. And now the Republic's gone. And like they have to figure out what that means for their core programming.
And I think it's been a really good study in character development, and especially this episode, The Crossing, I thought was really good. It was an episode I wasn't expecting to like, because I think this season has been a little bit of a roller coaster. I'm like really impressed by one episode, and then the next one's like, it's good, but not as good. But I've been surprised, because let's suppose the tribe was really good, and then we got that amazing like mini arc right after, so that was surprised. And after that high, I thought this episode, I wasn't going to like it so much, especially when it started. It was a little bit of the formula again of a Sid mission, but I ended up really liking it because it ended up being, well, gorgeous, to say the least. But it was a really, really good character study, and I'm really enjoying what they're doing, especially with Tech in some of these episodes, and especially this one. So what did you think about The Crossing, Andres? Oh, and then we can go to you, Goose, if you want to.
No, it's okay. You know, it's okay. you know, I don't want to overstep here. I agree with you, Nai. I thought that this episode was going to be considerably different because, in, like, the experiences that we've seen from Bad Batch is that when you have a super dark and epic episode, then the next one is kind of like that self-contained type of, you know, more fun adventure of the week type of thing. So that's what I thought we were going to get. I wasn't, you know, expecting to kind of have a thematic sequel of sorts, right, to the previous duology that we got. But it was deep, man. It was still dark. I mean, it was still a lot of fun and adventure, and it was still like a Sid mission, but we cut away from, you know, the going to the bar,
the formula a little
have
bit,
Sid give you the mission, and then go back. And it was good. And like you said, it was stunning to look at. It was beautiful, 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 beautiful episode. Like I think we say that in every episode.
It's how just amazing the animation. They do. We have to keep saying it because they deserve the credit, and because it is beautiful to watch. But anyway, what did you think, Andres?
I definitely agree. I actually made a note when the episode first opened up. I was like, oh yeah, I'll make some notes on the side. And literally I had to pause from the first shot because I was like, this the note I made was that they can animate just the heck out of backgrounds. If you took a still of that like mountain range and stuff, or the valleys and everything, I was like, you could convince someone that that is a flyover shot from someplace in Utah or like someplace near the Grand Canyon. And folks, like, you could pretty much believe that. It's not until like the Marauder comes in and the camera's like interacting with the background that you're like, oh, okay, it's animated. Okay. But it just, it looks like a painting or a photograph. You wouldn't know the difference. Development wise, I agree. Like, because the last two episodes, they were the back to back. Released at the same time. So I remember getting to the end of The Crossing and thinking like, oh, we're back to, you mini gotta arcs. Sit it out. Yeah, yes. Like they're not just immediately going home. So like it wasn't that like you were mentioning, Goose, like that adventure of the week. It was something that we're gonna have to sit and simmer with and figure out like how are they gonna get out of it. And Sid, like at the end of the episode, I thought for sure once they were able to get a hold of her, I was like, oh, this is how it's going to end. Like, someone's going to show up and they're going to be like, let's go back to Ord Mantell.
Right.
And, you know, it builds up that tension from the previous episodes because she's like, it's going to take some days. Like, they have to kind of twist her arm to even get her to call her contacts.
And all that attitude about, oh, I didn't tell you to get your ship robbed. So, you know, it's on you, deal with it. And they have to call out all the times that they've helped her out selflessly to actually get her to do something. And it's not an immediate rescue anyway on this planet that is clearly out to get them, because this planet clearly just hates the Bad Batch.
But I think that was a really good thing, that like that development with Sid, because it's kind of what we discussed about in the riot racing episode, like how we kind of see the seeds of discord that might happen with Sid further down in the season, how she might potentially betray the Batch. And so we're kind of, I appreciate that they sprinkled that in there, because like, okay, we're setting up the pieces. Like with this, the last episodes and this one, it kind of feels like we're setting the chessboard for like, you know, for getting all the pieces to move. That was for anyone that was listening, that was, you know, kind of a Return of the King reference. So, if you know,
yourself on the back.
If you know, you know. I was kind of proud of myself, even though you know, I'm pretty sure.
Is Rex the Beacon of Gondor?
Is Rex the Beacon of Gondor? No, I think in this one, Omega would be. So you know, she would be the Hobbit proxy to an extent, not because of her stature. I just think because of the naivete. I think she would be the one to like
her love of second breakfast. Just really...
her love of second breakfast or Mantell mix. All... Mantell mix.
Yeah, Mantell mix. That's right. That is correct. But yeah, I thought it was really good also that they didn't just kind of gloss over that Echo is gone. I felt like Omega the whole episode, just like super sad that Echo is gone. I'm really missing him. But I think it is important to see that emotional impact and for not have him return immediately. Because when they start kind of like asking to see if they can contact him, I was like, he just left. You need to let that sit first, what it means to them. You can't just bring him back. And for a second, I thought that they would. And I'm really happy that they didn't. So I hope it isn't Echo who comes next episode to save them. I feel like they need to find their footing and digest what's happening, because it's the second member that they've kind of lost. And I don't know if you've been listening to our episodes, Andres, but we started a Deadpool thinking that one of the characters is going to die. And the problem with that now is that every time that there's danger, so we had like that Lion King situation with the Stampede, and then we had, you know, Tech falling down, like not long hesitating to rescue Omega. And I, the whole time I'm thinking, oh no, not my sweet boy Wrecker. Oh no, not Tech, who's getting all these amazing like character development. You're gonna kill him off. So I feel like anxious now every time I watch one of these episodes.
Especially since we have that Deadpool going. So it's just like, oh, is it happening this early? Must not. No. Especially not with the Wrecker. Our boy's not going anywhere. Get rid of Hunter, but not
Hunter. Oh, yeah.
Hunter's got how bold y'all are being. In a series that loves breaking people's hearts with like someone's gonna horrible. Die. eventually.
Hey, we got the inside scoop from some friends that have been able. Well, no spoilers, obviously. We don't have any spoilers, but we were given a warning that, you know, hearts will be broken. Okay. So,
like that, you know, that's your win. If I'm gonna put money on anything, I'm gonna feed into like the Echo. I'd put money down on Echo being the sacrificial. The one
that's... No, it's not fair, man. Like, he's had it rough. He deserves
all the torture and everything he went through. You know. Oh.
And I mean, come on now, because then he could have one last moment to shine, and be like, he did it. He finally saved everyone. Look at Echo go from tortured clone to hero of the
dead
day.
Clone,
and then,
right?
Yeah. And then just Rise of Skywalker him of like, oh, just sorry.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Saving the galaxy. Goodbye now.
You're not wrong.
Now you get to die.
My only
Star Wars loves killing the heroes after they get redeemed.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Yep. Like, come on, Star. Let one person have a happy ending. At least one. And it could be my home skillet Echo.
And Crosshair,
you know,
keeps failing up, so I'm like, I don't think they'll kill him because he's
I don't think so. Mm-mm.
There's been plenty of opportunities for him to just get wrecked, and he keeps getting promoted. So,
and he really is too interesting of a character. I'd be really upset if they just offed him without getting like that full arc of what's happening with Crosshair.
What if they Rogue One this? Everyone's gone. Except Omega, obviously. Come on, you don't kill children.
That got really gloomy.
That's Book of Boba Fett season 2 right there. You can't do that.
Exactly. When is Temora gonna meet Temora? Like, is they're gonna do the like that very bad Michelle Rodriguez film?
I would say Temora meets Tamara, but you know, your point taken.
It needs to happen. So now that we're having all these live action crossovers with animation and whatnot, we'll see.
It could happen. I guess speaking of like crossovers and then a little bit of like merch, like I was really bummed that they lost the Marauder this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And in the back of my mind, I was like, the same thing happened with the Razor Crest. Lego released a Razor Crest after season 1, and everyone was like, yes, get Mando ship. It's a wrap, like we're fine. Season 2 comes out, and Moff Gideon on a whim is just like, nuke it. And it's like, poor Bad Batch fans, like if you bought that Lego set, you just watched your $200 purchase get jacked.
Well, it's getting back.
Well, because that's one of the things that I thought was like really surprising about this episode was that they kind of left it as a two-parter, right? It's just like, there's literally, I was expecting to see the to be continued like at the end of the episode. So obviously that was the setup, right? Because we don't see who it was, because I think that would be not the best of writing, right, for that team to be just like, let's animate this random person and just take the ship and then we'll never mention it again. I think there's something there.
Well, there's definitely something sketchy going on because the outpost was abandoned and
exactly. Yeah.
There's stuff going down.
Like at first, I thought this is obviously not gonna be the case. But at first, I'm like, what if it's Boba Fett? Well, Boba Fett is like, oh, screw it, I'm taking that. But it's just like, no, not everything has to be incestuous.
Well, also at this point, Boba would be like knee deep in working for the Empire, or at least starting that journey, because it's post Clone Wars and like early Empire days. So he's probably making a name for himself in the galaxy, but would already have, I guess, his dad's old ship. He just repainted it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure he didn't stumble across another fire spray.
And that's exactly what I was gonna say, just to annoy any people that are here watching. Fire spray. They changed the name. They didn't. They didn't throw up. But we'll see how that plays out. Because, like I said, like it would just be so unsatisfying to like not, because I'm not saying they're not gonna destroy the ship. Maybe they will, but it has to fulfill a narrative purpose, I guess, because right now, obviously, the ship is a metaphor for family and home and a place of belonging, and like that's what Omega just lost by losing Echo, and now she's like, like crap, like everything's fickle in this life, right? Like everything can just disappear, and you know, your family can disappear, and your home can disappear, like in the blink of an eye. It's like how do you deal with all that trauma? So there has, you know, it has to come full circle, right? There has to be that healing for this journey that she's going on. And I think the ship even though it might be destroyed, it needs to play back into that in a way that like she can realize that home is not a physical space. And I'm gonna be very cheesy here, but home is where the heart is. So we have to complete that little narrative arc there with a nice little bow. And maybe when the Marauder does explode, it's gonna be like in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and it's just fireworks, and it's gonna be beautiful, and we're all gonna be crying when it happens.
It's true.
It's been a week, guys. It's been a week. Okay?
It's been intense, but I don't know. It was a really good episode because I feel like I was starting to get frustrated with Omega a little bit also because they would do the whole like her going on her own and getting into trouble and then everybody gets dragged into the trouble. But this time it was a little bit different because it was kind of more of an emotional growth moment for Tech as well, because he can't really understand because he processes emotions differently. But I love that conversation that they had and that immediate trust that she was so surprised by. You trust me to do this? I know you're capable of doing it, because he can't lie. He only says truths. She believed that immediately. And I wasn't expecting her to fall. I was really expecting him to catch her in that moment. And then no hesitation, jumps right after her. Mm-hmm. And then that conversation that they had and what I'm calling the Fern Gully cave. It was so good when he explains it to her that way, that he, just because he processes emotions differently and expresses them differently doesn't mean he doesn't feel them as intensely as other people do. And that speaks to a lot of people who don't necessarily express themselves the way that is expected or process emotions the way that it's expected, but that doesn't take away from the fact that you still feel. Through good communication, then you can understand each other. And when he's trying to rationalize everything, like, but we're soldiers, this is how we're supposed to act. And she's like, but aren't we a family? And he admitted it immediately. And she said, well, like, act like it. And in my mind, I was like, he jumped right after you. That's what family does. He doesn't need to necessarily say it. He acted it. But it is sometimes good to understand, because you don't understand people who don't react to things the same way as you do. So that's why the conversation was important.
I agree and I disagree. Because I do think that people show affection and love and in many different ways, but sometimes everyone's caught up with The Last of Us, right? We all saw episode 3.
No, I haven't watched The Last of Us. No.
All
right. I'm not emotionally prepared for The Last of Us right now. There's too much going on. I need to put that on pause.
Then I'll try to. I'm gonna make the point anyway. It's gonna be the same point. So it's about love, obviously, and it's how you love someone. Also, it can't be one sided. You can't just give your love to them like selfishly and how you want it. You kind of also have to love the person on their terms too, because you know. Love is a two-way street, and I think that was kind of the important thing of that conversation between Omega and Tech. It wasn't necessarily Omega telling him that he has to change and be different. It's telling him that, like, I mean, sometimes you need to, you know, like, I receive love or affection, like, in this way, and, like, I don't, you know, it's a give and take. That's fine. I think that's relationship, like you said, nice communication and whatnot, and I think it was kind of a beautiful moment in that sense, because she also then understands him, that he's not just cold and calculating. It's like, it's like in Star Trek, Spock. I don't know if it's always been or if it's only a Kelvin timeline type of thing. Sorry, Star Trek nerds. But when they're talking about the Vulcans and how they repress their emotions, and they're like, we repress them because we are so emotional and that because we feel so much, and everyone just thinks that they're cold and cold and detached and analytical because they feel nothing, but it's the opposite. It's like they feel so much that they have to kind of
rein it in themselves. A little bit.
Yeah. And in a sense, I think that's kind of how Tech is. But yeah, jumping in after her kind of shows that he does have that mushy heart.
No hesitation. Yeah.
So, and like I don't know.
I think the other thing for like viewers to keep in mind is like Omega is going through the process that presumably Echo already went through after the end of Clone Wars season 7 or whatever, right? So like this is their first new addition into the group since like the Clone Wars and Echo joining the group. So like, you know, Omega's also kind of learning a little bit of, because in Bad Batch, like, there was this, you know, they didn't think that they were going to, like, hold on to Omega for so long. Or, you know, they were trying to figure out some other way. And, like, now that she's fully a part of the crew, like, that's what I appreciated about the episode of, like, okay, this is her kind of learning how this group operates, because, like, of course the Bad Batch isn't bothered by Echo leaving, because, like, they didn't have Echo for most of the Clone War.
Right.
Yeah.
They had him for a moment, and, like, things happened, and he decided to go back with Rex, who, like, the Bad Batch can, again, understand, because they also fought in the Clone Wars, and they're like, oh, you want to go back to your old commander because he has a mission for you and you're aligning with it? Like, makes sense. So Omega is that first opportunity in a very long time that the Bad Batch has to, like, kind of be vulnerable and, like, operate and show Omega, like, this is how we work. This is how we do things. And yeah, it's different than maybe what she expects. Like, she grew up on Kamino. Everyone knew her. It was the same Kaminoans her whole life. Like, no one left Kamino, as far as we know, besides the ones who got into politics and, like, the ones that show up for plot reasons. But you know, yeah, they're like, oh, Kaminoan, of course they're here. But, you know, other than that, it's like, her concept of family is literally has always been Topoka City and everyone who lives there all the time and has no reason to leave.
But it's interesting too, because the Bad Batch were obviously, like, a family with each other before this, but they were completely different in terms of, like, how they operate as a family, because they operate as soldiers, because that was kind of their upbringing. So, like, how they empathize or have those relationships are kind of their foundation is completely different in terms of those relationships. So I think that now, like, with Omega, it's like bringing, like, a more sensitive side in terms of, like, how we express how we connect as family. And it's just like, we don't, we can show each other affection, we can tell each other we love each other, you know, and that doesn't make you less of a soldier or less of a person or less of a unit. It's just a, you know, a different layer to the onion, right, of, like, how we relate to each other. And I think that's kind of the discoveries that both sides are making. Just Omega has, can understand that just because they don't show it the way that she wants it doesn't mean that it's not there. But they also are learning that, hey, maybe I can loosen up a bit and, like, stop pretending that we're soldiers in a in a war and be like, no, we're a family and we're raising a daughter, even though she's kind of technically older than them.
But you can tell that they are also feeling Echo's absence, because at the beginning it's like, oh, we're one man short, and then immediately things started to go wrong because they didn't have Echo. So they did get used to Echo. They're just more accepting of the fact that if the mission changes and somebody needs to go on a mission that they prioritize, so they accept it more easily. But it doesn't mean they're not feeling the absence of Echo as well, because they had formed a family unit. So I don't know, I thought it was really good. It made me feel things.
It made me feel things in this, old cold heart of mine. I don't know. It was interesting because I thought we were gonna stop with the character development for the rest of the Bad Batch, because I was like, oh crap, now we're going into overdrive with, like, the plot. So no time for character development. But to, like, have, like, the, especially with my boy Tech, I'm glad that Hunter is taking, like, the back seat with a lot of these, like, character moments. But to have, like, Tech now shine again was really, really satisfying, because as much as, like, Tech's episode for the riot racing, I was going to say race riot, that's completely different. It was
the Fast and the Furious, Bad Batch edition.
Anyway, whatever. We're not gonna get into that.
I love that meme.
That's a separate episode.
I love that Tech meme.
I know.
Family. Give me a bucket of Coronas. That was a terrible Vin Diesel. I'm sorry. But here, I think it was more poignant, because in that episode, like, he kind of learned to not be a robot, but in this one, he's learning to kind of be a person. You know, it was like a very emotional beat to have that. And it's also say it, like, how cool did Omega look with the wet hair? That was a cool hairstyle. She should consider getting some wet look wax or something to keep that going.
Yeah, I also want to take some time to talk about the mineral that they were mining.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, it's called Ipsium, and that made me giggle a little bit. I was like, that's so Star Wars, because it reminds me of the first two words whenever you do a template in any
kind of word Ipsum processing. Lorem. Yeah,
Ipsum Lorem or Lorem Ipsum. So I was like, oh, of course. Like, they just took the second word in that or the first one.
They're like, we don't know. Just do that.
Yeah, they just add an extra I in there. And it's like, oh, it's Ipsium. It's
whatever.
It's whatever we want.
Exactly. Although it's now like the third different fuel source that's, you know, that like has exploded. We had coaxing.
Yeah.
We have the one from Mandalorian. Now we have this. It's like, okay. Let's pump the brakes a little bit here.
But, you know, like it made me think of like all of season two so far. There's kind of two things that tie it together, and it's like things of value, and then the questions around what is valuable. I'm looking at the episode release schedule, and like the first two episodes all came out together as well.
Yep.
And it revolved around Count Dooku's treasure. It was another Sid mission, and like did all that,
which they failed to get.
Yeah,
but that's the point. They failed at every single Sid mission this this semester, this season.
Yeah, but it's like it's the whole season is tied around like things of value and like how far are you willing to go. And you know, in the Count Dooku in the premiere, like Omega was the one who had to learn to let go, right? Like it's not worth chasing after the treasure. And you know, now even as they're going through the crossing, like they're chasing a mine that Sid bought. Mm-hmm. Sid essentially got bamboozled because there was hardly any Ipsium left. And then after they get stuck because they're taking care of themselves and like prioritizing their safety, they end up finding more valuable Ipsium, which now puts them in a position that if and when they get themselves off that planet, like they'll make more money from Sid's job, or like maybe there's a conversation about like, I do wonder if they're going to give her all the Ipsium, like they filled the satchel of those vials.
Higher quality stuff, and it's the first time if they actually get rescued with the Ipsium, I think it's the first time they succeed because they failed at the treasure hunt. I mean, they accidentally ignited that super robot, but they failed because they didn't get it. And pretty much everything else, they failed all the Sid missions. So when it started and it got blown up, I was like, oh, again, are they ever gonna, how are they actually surviving? Because they're failing all these missions. They're losing more money and fuel to get back and forth with nothing, you know, to sell when they get back. So,
I think that's the point. I mean, financial considerations aside, I think that's the important point of like them not keeping any of these treasures or completing the jobs, because they're going after things that like don't matter, and like they're not understanding
like,
that they're going on missions exactly. So like at this point, it's like they're supposed to fail because they're not doing the right thing.
Because when they do the right thing, they succeed. Yeah,
they succeed. So like
home. Yeah.
So right now, like their families are going through like there's like a family crisis, and like that's why they lost a marauder. Like they're going through some internal struggles that like they have to heal with themselves, and until they don't do that, they can't get their home back and they can't get their treasures back. So treasures, whatever, or product or fuel or whatever you want to call it, but they need to heal first before like they get all of that and find meaning and purpose, and right now they haven't found either of those things. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we need Mo here to like throw some philosophy bombs. I'm doing my best to keep the Mo vibe here.
I just think because like two episodes from now the episode's titled Metamorphosis, so like I think it's, you know, we're getting closer to that point of like, you know, Rex has pointed out like they lost Crosshair because Crosshair believes the future is the Empire. They lost Echo because Echo believes whatever Rex is doing is the future for like the clones, and like now the Bad Batch is in this spot, or I think they're getting closer to that spot of realizing like we're not bounty hunters, we're not we're not like Indiana Jones types that are going to do whatever it takes to steal whatever to make X amount of money or like keep moving on. They keep finding themselves tied to things that are bigger than themselves, and mm-hmm. like their skill set goes a long way yeah. there. Like, you know, like Cid, they have to prove to Cid that they're worth keeping around as an elite force.
Yeah.
You don't have to prove to the rebellion that you're worth keeping around. Like, they will, mm-hmm, they will mm-hmm. gladly feed the Bad Batch and like give them fuel. Mm-hmm. Like, the Marauder's fine. Like, they'll, you know, yeah. assign someone to watch it all day long if that makes them feel better.
Right.
Because they understand the value inherent of like having yeah. these troops, they're going to make the right call. And if they succeed in the mission, like, it will also pay off dividends because they are mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. good.
Yeah.
But, you know, right now they're stuck with Cid, who's like, if you don't get me the goods, I don't care that you all come back
yeah, every single week. Yeah, this is all about the money. Yep.
It's all about the Benjamins.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we are going to get more involvement, especially now that the clones have been officially decommissioned. And now that we've kind of lost Echo to the, you know, with Rex trying to save whatever clones are trying to, you know, find a better life. And it kind of mirrors a little bit, you know, the path that we saw in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. So I think it's a lot of these like underground railroad kind of situations that are mm-hmm, happening. And mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I think mm-hmm. the Bad Batch are eventually going to realize that they need to be involved, that just running around and surviving is not enough.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that's not mm-hmm. a purpose. That's just surviving. And it's not the same as living.
Agree. It's like the whole, I always, that type of thing always reminds me of the Jyn Erso quote from Rogue One. And who, I forgot who says it to her. Oh, it's Saw Gerrera when he's just like, oh, you'd be okay with seeing the Imperial flags fly. And she's just like, it's not a problem if you don't look up. And it's just like, that's kind of what, to an extent, the Batch is doing, yeah. right? They're trying to keep their head down. Yeah. But that's the problem. Like, you can run from fascism and oppression all you want, but eventually that boot is going to be on your neck. And you know that's where you can't ignore it, because it won't ignore you. It will always come for you.
And you have to be like Brasso.
Get that brick. Get that brick. And buy that shirt on TeePublic. Throw bricks at your local fascist. Buy it. Help me out. It's just I only get $2 out of it. But hey, but come on.
It's a cool design.
Help the channel. We don't have a Patreon.
That's a PBR.
That's a PBR, man.
That's a PBR on during happy hour. Like, let's not.
Not a tall boy, but no. At least a regular. But you know, yeah.
Enough to keep
that,
going.
That gets the job done. Yeah. and if you go to like a really nice dingy Chicago bar, you can get a what we call a Chicago handshake. And for those who don't know what a Chicago handshake is, it's a can of PBR and a shot of Malort. And for those uninitiated in the ways of Malort, wow. It is the most disgusting shot you can ever have, but it's absolutely delicious. So whenever you guys visit
Chicago,
exactly. So whenever you guys visit, we will do a Chicago handshake, and it's on me. Don't worry about it. Yeah. But I do
love that sticker. I will say I have it on my laptop and.
Awesome. Oh, the brick. I was just like, oh, you got a Malort sticker? The brick one.
Which, you know, interesting. I work a little bit in local politics, so like every now and then when I'm like, oh, let me get my laptop out, I hesitate for like just a moment, and I'm like will this person be offended? But I don't know. Do I care? Well, they're gonna see it, and like I just like take out my laptop. I'm like, all right, keep
the only people. It's weird because if someone gets offended by that, it can. It's are yeah. they kind of outing themselves? It's like, well, yeah. maybe I am kind of a proto, you know, pro fascist asshole, but. Whatever. I mean, I would say
tell them to comply. Just exactly. comply with the nice ISB.
Just lick those boots. I would say it's not, you know, it's not relevant, but it is, because Star Wars, friends, family, children, everyone that's listening, despite what some elements in the fandom would say, it is political. So it is.
That's
it is.
Not we're shocking news.
It's, for some people, it's yeah, I'm it surprised that for some it still people, is. It is. Even yeah. though, you know, I know. It's just, I would say like, what Sean Connery told Indiana Jones in Last Crusade, let it go. You lost that battle. Take the L. Just let it go. Yeah, they're just holding on to like this fake narrative.
And what were you going to say, Andres?
It's I mean, like even with this episode, like it really pushes, you know, the whole crux of the episode is like, what is family and how do these different, you know, what's an acceptable way to like engage as a family unit? And like, the Bad Batch is a very like strange like family unit as far as like traditional families are concerned, yes. Right? That like mm-hmm. it was five men raising one daughter, and like now it's mm-hmm. down to three. But like she's still an equal, like they treat her literally on the same bar as like Wrecker, as Tech, as Hunter, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. you know, her opinions are equally valuable. Even the way that her and Tech start like bridging the divide that they had yeah. at the beginning of mm-hmm. the episode is like her literally mining the better Ipsium yeah. and Tech just being like, okay, yeah, I'll get your satchel and like
yeah, I trust you to do it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You're more than capable. So mm-hmm. like it is this very, you know, it's weird because that's like a minor thing for us and like how we, you know, none of us have kids, right? That we know yeah. of. Let me put the other extra. Hey.
Well, I know for sure.
God, I hope not. Yeah. Holy crap, man. Oh my god. I mean, am I gonna have nightmares tonight?
Nani pulled a Shmi and there's a young Anakin somewhere out there. She's blacked out for 9 months.
Oh, god. I was like, no, please.
No. But you know, it's like at least like when, you know, like when my partner and I are talking about like upbringing and raising a potential family, it's like for us that's kind of a no-brainer, right? Of like, okay, once you're like tall enough to do dishes, we're gonna teach you how to do dishes and like you're capable of doing it and you're gonna mm-hmm. become a member of this unit and we work as a unit.
You gotta pull your weight in this house.
That's right. I was like, maybe that's very Latino, but you know, for other people that's such a wild concept of like mm-hmm. what do you mean you put full faith in this like child? And it's like they might be a child, but like they do know some things, and for the things that are important to them, like it may make sense to ask their opinion. Mm-hmm, and like mm-hmm. the Bad Batch does that automatically. Like that is their mm-hmm. MO. So, you know, it's nice.
It's nice to see. Yeah. I appreciate exactly that we can have a dark episode, but some lighter, you know, some lighter fun stuff.
I mean, like for Mando, you know, not to get into other shows, but like that was a lesson Mando had to learn. Right. Mm-hmm. Like he thought he thought Grogu was just literally like something to put in a satchel and like just shove into a Jedi's hands.
Literally.
And and it takes him a while, but like in another show, he realizes that Grogu is like,
wait, what?
A person.
In another show.
What do you mean another show? But yeah, it's like he has to learn that lesson, and like the Bad Batch is ahead of him in that sense of like how they move and operate. You know, like there, if you're gonna give a child a blaster, or in Grogu's case a lightsaber, like you gotta treat him like a full adult at that point.
Mm-hmm. You gotta trust that children can understand and can be given responsibilities, and you don't have to mm-hmm. infantilize them, right? And I think that's
someone lesson. Tell Joel. Sorry, that's a Last of Us joke.
Nani hasn't seen it then. Nani, you haven't played the game, right?
No.
Okay. Neither have I. So like I have coming in like a virgin into this show.
So, I played it. I played it on a PS3, so it's been a hot minute, but I do remember that the end made me very sad, and I thought I don't remember. I don't want to be sad. I just remember pain.
Just remember sadness.
Yeah. Were you sadder than episode 3? Because episode 3.
Yes. You're not even close.
Oh, Lord, stop.
Oh, no.
Well, we're not going down that road.
That mountain.
We're not going down that road today because my mental health today is broken. So I don't need to shatter it.
Baby steps.
baby steps. Baby Grogu steps. Before we wrap up.
Yeah,
we have to do the final segment.
Responsible speculation.
We already kind of did. We already did the next episode, at least.
But what do you think we're getting? You know, in the next couple of episodes, or what you're expecting, what you want to see.
Okay. Okay. So I'm gonna go tinfoil hat theory.
Go.
I want Hondo Naka to find them.
It's interesting that you said that because I was watching Alex's review, Star Wars Explains review of the episode, and he did mention that at first when he saw the person that steals the Marauder, like, he thought it was Hondo.
The hair, the kind of mask, that style of helmet. I was like, I can tell that that's hair and that's not a Hondo Naka thing. So I was like, that's someone else. But like, I would love for that to have been like a stylistic teaser of like,
what's
this is the person who's gonna like come and rescue him. And you know, Sid's in and around that network. It's not
right?
too, yeah. you know, it's not too out of the realm of possibility that she would know. If she knows who Fee is, she would probably know Hondo. And yeah, and then Hondo would know Jedi. So, like, if the Bad Batch start talking about the jobs they've been pulling, like, Hondo would be like, oh, yeah, like, love those people. And, like, that could start keep planting that seed for the Bad Batch of, like, maybe we can help fight for good, question mark?
Yeah.
So, yeah, someone like that, like, coming in and rescuing them, which then makes them kind of regret asking to be dropped off at Ord Mantell and, like, starts kind of turning those gears.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, I can buy that.
I love Hondo.
I buy that for a dollar.
I love me some Hondo.
And you know Hondo would steal the last Ipsium. So he'd like drop him off at Ord Mantell.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah, let's go to Sid's. And like they open the satchel and it's like, oh.
It's gone. 100%. Interesting. 100%. It'll happen. But if it doesn't happen,
you're calling
we don't take it personal.
We're always
responsible.
Wrong.
We are. Yeah. Actually, we should start keeping track of all of our theories so that we can actually see what our success rate is, because maybe we're cutting ourselves. I don't think we're cutting ourselves enough slack. I'm pretty sure we've been right about something.
Or it could be young Mando. Like if you want some real crossover synergy, he's got a Razor Crest. He got inducted in the Clone Wars. So like he's not old Mando, but he's certainly not young Mando anymore, because he got picked up while the Clone Wars was happening and inducted into the cult. So
Interesting.
Just a Razor Crest drops by and's like, yeah, I got room for four people. Like, hop on in. And
what if, holy crap, prepare. Strap in, boys and girls, and non-binary family, strap in. What if that's why there's going to be like the overlap between Mando and Bad Batch? And because March 1st, Mandalorian season 3 comes out, and obviously there's going to be a new episode of Bad Batch that day. What if that episode of the Bad Batch, bam, Din Djarin?
Actually happens, if you actually just called this,
holy crap. if I called it, I deserve Star Wars crown. Like, get move over, Alex and Molly, give me the crown of Star King. I'm king of Star Wars if I call it.
And like I could, you know, we'll go one step further. I would love for young Mando to be telling Hunter, like Hunter's like, oh yeah, we're like taking care of Omega, and like young Mando being like, oh, sounds like a liability. Like just some kind of throwaway like, line.
I would never
like,
want to take care of kids.
No idea, sir.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in love with my idea. Now I'm gonna be sad if it doesn't happen.
I mean, March 1's episode is called Metamorphosis. That's all I'm saying. So like if there's a chance for a crossover.
Oh my god, what if it was Din Djarin that stole a ship?
Young Din Djarin. And he sells that for a Razor Crest? I mean, first of all, bad move, but not the first time Mando has let
go. Oh my lord. Oh my lord. I gotta stop. I'm gonna go into
We're too deep on the rabbit hole now. We're out here making quotes.
I think that was good though.
Yeah, Nani, rescue us. I can't.
I think we're done. I think let's leave it there and let's see what happens in the next couple of episodes. We have amazing things coming soon. Mm-hmm. So Andres, why don't you let us know where everybody can find you?
Right.
Yeah, for sure. So I am on Twitter for now, at @AAA_.
I think that's everybody's attitude right now. On Twitter for now.
Yeah. @AAA_PhotoG. We also have Sithy Minutes, which is our podcast. Anywhere where fine podcasts can be found, you can find us. And then we have Twitter and Hive, that is Sithy Minutes with no underscore or anything like that, just the two words together. We cover Star Wars and politics. We started this year a little bit more Star Wars, but we're going to be leaning back onto our politics stuff. We had to wait for enough garbage stories to get our gears going. And it only took us until February, but we did it. So yeah,
we gotta talk about those UFOs because there's nothing else important happening in the country, right?
Yeah. Don't mind the nitric acid. Just step around that, and the vinyl chloride, and the, you know, anywho. Yeah. So you can find us on Hive or anywhere podcasts exist, and Twitter. And I have recently actually been writing for Cinelinks. I have a little series that is comparing Andor characters to the revolutionary kind of archetypes or stereotypes that exist in those types of movements.
Very cool.
My first one was about Deidre and white feminism. And my second one actually dropped today. That was about Cyril Karn and bootlickers. So, you know, very timely.
Very appropriate.
Very timely.
And we will obviously leave this links down in the description below so you can find all that stuff. And please, please definitely make sure to check it out. It's excellent content. And, you know, we should, you know, we should all support each other and like help elevate each other's voices, because, you know, a lot of good people saying good things deserve to be heard by everyone in all corners of the galaxy.
Yeah. Very true. Well, Andres, thank you so much for joining us once again. This was so much fun. We will invite you back. Obviously, there's so much amazing content coming our way. So there's lots to talk about. It's going to be a good year, you know, at least for, you know, fandoms, you know, not outside.
Yes.
But, in the books and on the screen. And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't look up. Yeah. Don't look up.
Actually, look up and
look up, look know, up. Yeah.
And speak your voice. But anyway, we are Triad of the Force, and you can find us anywhere that podcast can be found. Just search Triad of the Force and you will find us. We have the rest of Bad Batch to talk about. Mando's coming out in March. We have a really cool episode next week about Indiana Jones because we love Star Wars, but there's other fan stuff that we love. So stay tuned.
Give him hell, Indiana Jones. Oh my God, it's going to be good.
And remember to always throw bricks at your local fascist. Until next time, we are Triad of the Force. May the Force be with you.